you for the privilege to speak your word. I ask for your spirit to guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Matthew 16. This is going to be the anchor for this message today. Matthew chapter 16. When you get a chance, read Matthew, the entire book of Matthew 16. And then the first part of Matthew 17. It's really about identity. Jesus trying to solidify his identity to his disciples. Praise God. Now, for this message, we're going to focus from Matthew 16 from verse 13. He says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To this Jesus responded. So Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The first thing I want to point out, and I'm going to share my thoughts on Matthew 16 from verse 13. But the first thing I want to point out is this chapter is really about the identity of Jesus Christ. This is what Christ is trying to reveal to his disciples, okay? And as a result of that, he wants to direct their attention to understanding who he is. So if you go to Matthew 18 and 19, this will help you understand Matthew 18 and 19, because there's quite a bit of controversy regarding these verses. He says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, Jesus is showing his identity. His identity as the head of, not only as Christ, the Christ of God. He's trying to reveal to them what it means that he is the Christ of God. And the Christ of God is the one upon which the church is built. Okay, it's based on his identity that this church is going to be formed. And Jesus is not doing it for our sakes. For his sake, he's doing it for our sakes. He's trying to give us understanding that he is the rock upon which the church is built. Peter is not the rock upon which the church is built. It's about his identity, not the identity of the apostles or disciples, so to speak, but about the identity of Jesus Christ is what he's revealing to them. So the church is built on Christ, not on Peter. And then verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Again, now Jesus is showing us our relationship to that identity. Our relationship to that identity. That because he called the disciples just like he called us. And he's showing us, if you understand my identity, who I am. Because that's what Jesus marveled at when he said that. When he said to Peter, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father gave it to you. It's my Father that gave it to you. Right? And that's what Jesus was communicating. His identity. And now that he's showing his identity, he's helping us understand our relationship based on that identity. So that we are from that rock, from that identity of Christ is where we take our own identity. All right? So I just want to share that. But let me focus on verse 16 and 17. And then I'm going to compare that. I want you to compare that to verse 22 and 23. Okay? Still on Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 16 says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then verse 22, the same Peter. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Amazing. The same Peter. Again, showing that Peter is not the one upon which the church is built. Okay? Christ is. Peter went from a revelation that God gave him about Christ, and Jesus responds to that revelation. To hear, Peter is listening to another revelation, a direct revelation from Christ, and his response is totally different. Then opposite ends. Okay? So what is happening here? What is happening? So we see that in verse 16, Simon Peter is responding to a direct revelation from the Holy Spirit. And because he understood that revelation, he came directly and he literally regurgitated what the Holy Spirit said. Jesus, in response to that revelation, because it's true, it's abiding, Jesus spoke, verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then we go to verse 22. Then Peter took him aside, took Jesus aside, and began to rebuke Jesus. He says, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. But look at what Jesus did. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You're an adversary. You are an offense to me. You are an opposition to me. You are not what? You're not in my camp, Peter. Why? First of all, the revelation of 16 that Peter received, he was not convicted of that revelation. He didn't have true understanding of what he just said in verse 16. You know, it's like that. Sometimes you get a revelation from God, but you don't have a conviction or true understanding of that revelation. The next minute, we behave in a manner that is contrary to the very revelation we're speaking about. You see, Peter did not get it. He did not fully understand what was happening. What it meant that Jesus is the Christ of God. So in verse 21 is what tripped Peter up. Verse 21, he says, from this time Jesus began to show to his disciples. This is a direct revelation. He began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. On hearing this, Peter began to respond differently. An element of pride was in him. He says, no, far be it, this cannot happen. And Jesus says, no, you are not, you get behind me, Satan. You are an adversary. You are one of my many adversaries at this point, Peter. May I ask you a question? How many times we Christians have become adversaries of Christ, adversaries of his progress, adversary of his kingdom, of his purposes, because we lack conviction from very revelation he's given us? I pray that the Spirit of Christ will bring revelation, true conviction, I should say, in our hearts and our souls, as it did on the day he came on Pentecost. He brought a deep conviction in them. Lord God, we need a deep conviction by your Spirit. We need the power of your Spirit working in us to translate all the information we have, all the revelation we have, to deep conviction, to the end that we are transformed into that very likeness of the revelation. That very understanding and truth of that revelation, that we become that in expressions, in all forms of expressions, to the glory and the praise of your name, O God. You are worthy to be praised. So let's continue. So Jesus pulls him aside and rebukes him. Why? Because you're mindful of the things of men and you're not mindful of the things of God, Peter. That's amazing. He says, you are mindful. You are not mindful of the things of God. Rather, you are mindful of the things of men. You see, when we have a revelation of Christ and a deep conviction of Christ, that need to switch us from being mindful of the things of men to becoming mindful of the things of God. You know, in this case, the things of God that Peter was hearing was not pleasant to the ears. It wasn't pleasant to the natural person, to the material experience. It wasn't pleasant for him. It didn't agree with what his understanding, what his measuring stick of pleasant is. You know, sometimes we don't understand, you know, because we have kind of natural measurements, natural yardsticks. We fail to appreciate how good what Christ was going to go through. Sometimes we fail to appreciate how brilliant our troubling experiences in this life is really in the realm of the Spirit or in the mission and the purpose of God. So that's what was happening with Peter. Then verse 24, Jesus begins to dig a little deeper into this. Now Jesus is speaking to us or describing what it means to be mindful of the things of this world and not mindful of the things of God. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Remember that. Remember that in verse 21, what was Jesus doing in verse 21? He was taking up his cross. He was taking up his cross and he was following the counsel of the Father. And then Peter became an adversary at that point. And now he's pointing to us. He says, you are part of me. Remember, in the revelation of verse 16, 17, and 18, and 19, that Jesus is the rock upon which we are built. And as a result, just as he took up his cross and followed the Father, we have to take up our cross and follow him. That is life. You know, sometimes we want to jump to verse 19 and says, we have the keys, we have this keys, we have that key, we have this key, we can do this, we can do that, we can do all of that. Right? It's all good. He did say it. We have authority. Well, first of all, we don't have inherent authority. Christians, we don't have inherent authority. We don't have inherent power. Jesus has inherent authority. He has inherent power. He's given us access to His power and His authority. Okay? But the same Jesus is saying to you, it's good, it's brilliant that you want to experience that authority and power. But also that same Jesus is saying to you, you must also pick part of the program, brethren. Part of our calling is to pick our cross up and follow Him. What does it mean that Jesus says, if we desire to be His follower, if we desire to be His disciple, if we desire to be the ones that have the keys of the kingdom, so that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If we desire to be those, if we desire to be those that can call upon His name at any time, and the name of the Lord will be our defense, our name, and the name of the Lord will vindicate us. If we desire to be part of those that He has cleansed with His own blood and presented righteous before His Father. If we desire to be part of that rock, that foundation that He is, then we must do this. Or rather, let me put it this way. If you desire to be part of that, there's a lifestyle that is set aside for you. What is that lifestyle? You must deny. You must get into the practice of denying self and taking up cross and following Him. You see, it's two things working here. It's not just denying self. You deny self and then you pick up your cross and follow Him. Both must be in place. This is the lifestyle of everyone who is part of that rock. This is the mindset that each one must carry. This is your new nature. The old has passed away. The new has come. You know, we always want to see that. Like sometimes Christians, we want to see the old, every bad thing in our lives have gone and everything has come that is fantastic and good is now the new thing. I mean, there's some truth to that. But what Jesus is saying here is this, that newness, if you're walking in that newness, this is the lifestyle you will have. You will have a pattern of self-denial and picking up your cross and following Him. That is the pattern you will have. And let me say something. Cross here is not necessarily something bad. After all, the end of Jesus' cross is brilliant. It's good. It's exceptional. Nothing, no one else can produce what Jesus did. That was the end of the cross. Right? So cross is not necessarily something negative. Let's not look at the cross as something negative, because then we have a tendency to shy away from it. What Jesus is saying, that follow my pattern. This is my pattern. I do not allow the material world, the systems of this world. I deny myself. Self-denial. I am nothing in this world determines who I am, what I am, and how, what I do. Don't make priority. Don't make it the priority of life, the material aspect of our lives. That is not the priority of our lives. The priority is found in the cross. In the purpose who we are. All our crosses are not the same. It's not the same. It's the uniqueness and purpose for which God created you. That pathway. Just look at the cross of Christ. No human, no spirit is able to pick up the cross of Christ and walk in it. It is once and for all done. Jesus has settled it. That is His cross. I can't be Christ. So that tells me I have a unique cross to bear. Whatever that might mean. It's for the revelation and understanding of Christ to come to me. Some people will have a cross to be a king. Don't expect that person to be a pauper. Your cross represents a spiritual lifestyle, a righteous lifestyle that is embedded in the purpose that for which God created you. It's not a sinful lifestyle. That is standard for everyone. It's a righteous lifestyle. It's a holy lifestyle. But that lifestyle is within the context of who you are, what God created you to be. Are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you a teacher? What is it? Are you a physician? Are you a doctor? All those kinds of things. What are the gifts and graces that you have? That is your cross. What is your gift? What are the graces that God has given you? They all represent your cross. You must pick that cross up and operate in it and live in it and live through it and become that cross and see your end in that cross. The cross is not something you carry and then you put down. That's your beginning, that's the end. It represents the total spectrum of who God has created you to be. That is the cross. And so Jesus is saying, as for us who desire to be part of this, as for us who want to be part of that rock, as for us who want to experience the glory and the power of that rock, guess what? You cannot be an adversary. The way you become an adversary against me is what? To be mindful of the things of this world as a matter of priority. And not to be mindful of the things of God as a matter of priority. He's not taking us out of this world. So we must relate with the world. Everything relates with each other. Wherever you are now, you're relating with your atmosphere. You're relating with things around you. It's just the way God made things. Everything is relational. So as we relate, he says, be mindful of the things of God as you relate with everything that is around you. Be mindful of your purpose. Be mindful of the call of God upon your life. Be mindful of the graces, the gifts of God upon your life. Be mindful on the instructions to be holy as he is holy. Be mindful of righteousness. Be mindful of the commandments of God. Be mindful of those things. Pick that cross up. Pick it up. Live it. When he says pick it up, he means become it. As a matter of fact, I don't believe we should be seeing it as a weight we are carrying. It's not a weight, because when you see it as a weight you're carrying, maybe you seek separation from that weight. But rather see it as who you are. Your cross is not a weight you're bearing. That's about to kill you. No, your cross is who you are. You're not different from your cross. You are one with your cross. Your identity is found in the cross you must bear. Your personality, your desires, your mindset, the things you do in life is found in the cross that God has called you to bear. That's who you are. That's who we must become. That's who Jesus is. That's why Jesus is looking forward to the crucifixion. That's why he's looking forward to the time when he will go to the cross. And so when Peter stands in his way, he says, you know what, Peter? You are an adversary. You are Satan. You are opposing me. You were there in the garden opposing me. You were there. You were there when I was in the wilderness, when I fasted and prayed. You were there opposing me, Peter. That same spirit that was in the garden that deceived Adam and Eve, that same spirit that was there when Jesus was in the wilderness was opposing him. Yes, Peter, you're there with them. You're part of that spirit. All that we are doing now is part of that spirit. Brethren in the Lord, we're speaking about Peter, but he's no different. He knows that just as he is, so we are. So let me ask you a question. How often is our life an expression of the same thing that Peter did? Where we make decisions, we live a life, we continue in a mindset and patterns that are like Peter, opposing him. We find him in the wilderness, we go and tempt him there. We find him going to the cross, we block his way to the cross. He says, no, it can't happen. Why? Because we are mindful of the things of the flesh. We are mindful of our comfort zones. We are mindful of the material world. While the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Isn't it amazing how it keeps boiling back to the same thing? God must be the priority of our lives. The will of God must be the priority of our lives. We must seek that which is Him. We must be mindful to bear our cross. So it's deny yourself. Deny yourself, He said to us. Every desire, every longing we have that does not line up with the purpose of God, the purpose of who we are, deny yourself of that desire, of that longing. Everything your hand finds to do that is not in line with your purpose, deny yourself that. Deny yourself that. Absolutely, top to bottom, everything. No exclusions. That's a pattern of lifestyle. This pattern of lifestyle requires us to put things off and to put on things. That's why Jesus says, you deny, but you don't remain in a vacuum. You deny yourself, then you lay hold of your cross. You apprehend the understanding of who you are. You apprehend the knowledge. And some people might ask, but I really don't understand purpose. Go ask Him. I mean, Peter is minding his business, not even praying for it, and the Holy Spirit drops in this revelation in Peter. While Peter was not praying or asking for it, the Spirit infused the understanding, a revelation into Peter. Are you trying to tell me that the same Spirit cannot infuse in you revelation of your purpose and who you are? No. How is it that He can save us? How is it that He can protect us? How is it that He can watch over us? How is it that He can defeat our enemies? And He cannot teach us. He can't infuse something in us. He can't give us understanding. No, we're not paying good attention. Maybe first of all, begin the process of self-denial. In that process, you might be able to begin to eliminate all that is not of God. And as you eliminate that which is not of Him, that which is of Him will be clearer to you. Some want to hear God, but they don't want self-denial. Some of us have heard Him, but we've mixed it up with all our personal desires. And then there's confusion. We don't understand if we're supposed to go left or right. Verse 25, Jesus says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. What does it mean, desire to save your life? Again, you go back to be mindful of the things of this world. Mindful of things of men mean you're losing your life. I mean, you're trying to save your life, sorry. If your life is about the things of this man, of things of men, the things of this world, the material things, if our lives are about that, then Jesus says, you're going to eventually lose that life. You're not gaining anything. You're not gaining. Whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. We're saving our lives by being mindful of the things of the material world. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will find it. If you lose your life for His sake, He says you will find it. What do you find? You find understanding. You find revelation. You find who you are. You find purpose. You find mission. You find calling. Lose your life for His sake. See what happens. Isn't that a pattern right there he gave to us? There it is, right there. A pattern is revealed to us. When you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom of God, which is to say, you are adopting the lifestyle of self-denial, of denying the flesh, for the sake of the kingdom of God. As anyone begins to pattern their lives after this mindset. Listen to me, brethren. And let me just put it this way. If any one of us, anyone listening to me, if you will begin to pattern your life after this model that Jesus gave us here, guaranteed you're going to have a deeper, a greater revelation and understanding, not only of who you are in Christ, but of purpose and of mission and what is ahead of you. It is guaranteed from the scripture. That what Jesus says, let me read that again. Whoever, so don't feel like on the spectrum, you are too low on one side. You haven't achieved anything. Your life is spinning out of control. Just as whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Okay, so we can put brakes on that. We know what we should not be doing. But whoever loses his life, whoever adopts this pattern of denying himself, watch, whoever becomes mindful as a matter of priority of the things of God. Do you see that? I'll repeat. Whoever loses his life for my sake is the same person who has a pattern of self-denial. That is the same person who is mindful of the things of God as a matter of priority rather than the things of this life. That's that same person. So the revelation here is clear. Jesus is telling us the same thing, and he's giving us not only the pathway, he's not only the truth here, he's also the way. And at the end of it, you find the life. That's the truth. And now that within the context of that truth, he's shown you the way. We can't be blind. We've come to light. We are in the light. The confusion sometimes in our minds is just the brightness of darkness. We think that is light. It doesn't matter how bright darkness is. It doesn't matter how bright it shines. It's still darkness. Okay? So I'm going to encourage you. I want you to read carefully. Listen to this message again. And read carefully these verses. You will see the pattern laid out. And Jesus says, this is you. If you do this, he says, you will gain your life. What does it mean you will gain your life? You will gain understanding, a deep revelation and understanding of who Jesus is, that rock from which you have been hewn. Okay? The foundation of the church that you are a member of. You will gain a deep revelation and understanding of who he is. And from that foundation, you will also gain a deeper understanding and revelation of who you are in him. That is your cross. The purpose, you will gain it. You will get that. You will understand that. You will live it out. He says you will gain it. It will become a matter of lifestyle for you. It will be an expression. There is no label. It won't be a label. It won't be laborious, is the word I'm trying to find. Paul is an apostle, period. It's not laborious for him to be an apostle. It's just who he is. You will gain it. You gain the understanding. You gain the revelation. You gain the power. You gain the manifestation. You gain the expressions. You will gain your life. Value added. But not as the world will add, but spiritual value added. Spiritual wisdom added. Spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. The mysteries of godliness added. The revelation of truth added. You will gain it. And that's what Jesus is saying, that we must pattern our lives in this manner. But it has to be for his sake. In verse 26, I'm going to conclude. He says, it is to no profit. You will gain no profit. Let me tell you. He says, you will get nothing, period. No zero, zilch, out of this material world. Zilch. If you lose your spiritual relevance. If you lose your spiritual relevance, there's no gain in the material world. If you don't operate in the fullness of who God created you, all of this is vanity. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. So why sweat over it? There's no point sweating over these things. Just give it up. Become mindful of the things of God as a matter of priority. Become one that has picked up his cross to follow him. Become one that is in the pattern of self-denial. Become one that will lose his life for the sake of Christ. And there it is, you gained it. God bless you in Jesus' name, amen.